it's the morning after the night before, and we both have our FM radio voices on.
You're listening to KRSC, Sonoma, California.
All reduced all the time. Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are, thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 167, Festus is Back.
Evil businessman, cliche, grumpy old codgers are a cliche. What the?
Hey, Nugget, we're cliches too.
God, it's been just a crazy 2010. Has already turned out to be busier. The first 6 weeks of 2010 have been busier than it seems like all of 2009.
Yeah, we've already had a year in the first 6 or 7 weeks. We started with Lost. And then we started before that, writing Lost, and then we flew and had a show in Dallas.
Right.
Then we went to London and shot Lost.
Yeah.
Then we came out here and did Shakespeare shows in Saratoga and Pasadena. And then this week we worked some tweaks to the first act of Hollywood, getting it ready for the Kennedy Center this summer. And this was a great week. The changes worked a treat.
Yeah.
And we had big, enthusiastic crowds who we seemed to fool. They seemed to like it. And yeah, now we're worn out.
We're exhausted. But now we have to, all of that has put us behind in the writing of the sports show, which we now have to spend the next, 6 weeks doing, getting right on.
Yeah, the biggest thing was Lost, which came up at the last minute and was just too good a gig to turn down. And we're used to working this way with a deadline. That's why we give ourselves a deadline.
Well, I was just having that conversation with Dee, too. I want a day off. It's like, be careful what you wish for. Yeah. You might get it. You might get a day off, and it might turn out to be a longer than a day.
In show business, yes, your day off might turn into a career change.
Yeah, exactly right. But the coolest part, a lot of things happened that were cool, but now that we've been working on the Hollywood show again, is that we realized that we were able to restore... We were able to restore the character of Festus.
Yeah, we were talking about the grumpy old codgers in the Hollywood show. And we were telling, it was fun reading. We did a couple of readings of the switched around first act in Hollywood in L.A. Yeah. And Jeff Marlowe and Matt Rippey were there. It was Austin, Dominic, and I reading.
Yeah.
And Matt Rippey was in town because we were doing the Shakespeare show in Pasadena. And Jeff Marlowe had come to see the show. And we said, well, we're reading through this material if you want to come by. And so they came by. And then that led into a discussion of the genesis of the grumpy old codgers. Mm-hmm. And we got to thinking about it. These grumpy old codgers who do appear in the Hollywood show in 2010 started what, in 1992 in London?
Yeah, I put them into the Dodge Rambler Boy Buckaroo section of the America show, and there was this Festus, the character of Festus, and there was this voice here, and it was and there was a character, the sheriff, or no, the like the deputy's name. The deputy in Gunsmoke's name was Festus, so we called it. He didn't talk like that, but there's so many old Western character actors that talk like that. I just thought it was a funny guy to put in. And I think it was inspired a little bit by Statler and Waldorf from The Muppets,
Grumpy old codgers. And I've always thought of it as Walter Brennan. I think my grumpy old codger's Walter Brennan. Gabby Hayes is also famous, but I'm not so familiar with Gabby Hayes. But Walter Brennan from the, what was that show he was on late in his career with Richard Crenna. It was a television show.
Oh, The Real McCoys.
The Real McCoys, yeah. Walter Brennan. And then what was I just watching? I was just watching Real Bravo I think, Turner Classic Movies with John Wayne and Walter Brennan and a very young Angie Dickinson and Ricky Nelson. Anyway, Walter Brennan's there. Well, as a kid, I just knew him. He was this old guy on this TV show, The Real McCoys. I didn't know he had an illustrious film career.
Well, illustrious film career where he played a lot of bad guys.
This is news to me right now. I just knew him as sort of the old codger guy.
Yeah. Well, and that concept of the old codger, you see them sitting around in the bar rooms, sitting around whatever, discussing the events of the day, but they're also discussing the events of the movie that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this meta quality to them. There's a movie called, it's a Hitchcock movie. Actually, you should know this movie, Shadow of a Doubt. It was shot in Santa Rosa, right up the road. Do you know this movie?
I know of it, but I haven't seen it.
It's Joseph Cotton playing this uncle who comes to visit his his niece, and his niece adores him. Well, it turns out that his uncle, her uncle, might, Joseph Cotton, might be a serial killer in this, living in this small town. It was written by Thornton Wilder, and Hume Cronin, a young Hume Cronin, and, oh, I'm forgetting the other actor. But anyway, they were young old codgers, and all they did was sit around, actually, on a porch swing, not unlike the one we're sitting on right now, talking very quietly and simply about what would be the best way to kill somebody. You know, it's very dark, macabre conversation from these two, like, nerdy young codgers. And I thought that was a funny idea for the Hollywood show, the two old guys talking about the events of the play. Can you think of other recycled jokes that we've cut from one show and managed to use in another? It's like songwriters have their trunk songs. Oh, I wrote this song. I don't know where it goes. I'll put it in the trunk and I'll use it when I need it. I remember in the America show, we had this long list of things that you wanted from, you know, life, and there was an inflatable Uma Thurman, and which I'd still like, by the way, and it is Valentine's Day, so if you would, somebody send me that. And that got cut from the America show, but we repurposed it into the radio show, I remember.
Yeah, I think we were doing an assembly line sketch. We were making a bunch of absurd things, and yeah. It seems like Adam said, inflatable, yeah. Uma Thurman,
yeah.
Which just, yes, the thought of that was, yeah. Warmed my cockles.
It resonated with all of us.
But in answer to your question, are there other jokes we recycle? I think the shorter list is, are there jokes that we haven't recycled?
Well, that's true. There's one, I remember, well, it, actually... When we were talking, we pitched a sketch show in the UK called In a Nutshell, and never went anywhere. This was years ago now, but I had this idea for a sketch about people confusing words between, you know, like banger. Excuse me? Mm-hmm. No, it's a sausage. Oh, I thought you meant something else. Oh, I see. But I was able to repurpose that sketch into the books show.
I just repurposed a thing we cut out of the America show into that interview that was in the Sonoma paper to promote the upcoming Sonoma show They asked a question, well, if you could recast any movie, what would it be? And I said, well, I'd recast My Dinner with Andre. You could keep the title, but instead of Andre Gregory blathering unintelligibly for 2 hours, I'd recast it with Andre the Giant, who would still be unintelligible, but there'd be a lot more action. And that was a verse from a song in the America show.
No, the Bible show.
Oh, sorry, the Bible. Yes, yeah. What's the difference between, yeah, the two Johns and the two Marys? And then one was, this has been in a podcast before. I think it may have been.
Yeah.
But yeah, what's the difference between My Dinner with Andre and Andre the Giant? One Andre is a wrestler, the other is an actor.
Well, I thought your answer to the question, what movie best describes the Reduced Shakespeare Company, was quite good. What's the answer to that?
Ishtar.
Yes, sadly.
I've been a fan of the Reduced Shakespeare Company for a long time, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Feedback time now, and we got this email from Darren Wilson about last week's podcast interview with Modern Family star Eric Stonestreet. Darren said, I really love this interview. It was so nice to hear about someone handling their celebrity with grace, humility, and a sense of fun and wonder about the whole thing, and it sounds like it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. I wish we could have stories like his in the tabloids rather than the latest Brangelina shocker. Thanks, Darren. Please send any other thoughts, comments, questions to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. It seems seems like we've genuinely fixed the first act of the Hollywood show. The first act of the Hollywood show, we've talked about it before, has changed, what, a dozen times now since we wrote it, in the 4 or 5 years since we wrote it?
Oh, at least. And, you know, it got closer and closer and to being where we wanted it. And then it's almost a year ago, we were performing it, and I sat down and just spent a couple of days. We had a couple of days off on the road. I remember in the hotel room in Columbus, Ohio, just being up late and tweaking it. And then you and Matt Croak and I read it, and it seemed like we were getting there, and you guys had good notes, and I kept those notes, but we didn't have another performance of the show coming up for quite a long time.
Right.
And so then the Kennedy Center booked us for 3 weeks this summer, and that was a good motivation to incorporate those notes and then read it. And we booked ourselves these three shows up here in Sonoma County to try the changes in front of an audience. And it feels like it flows now. The things we were unhappy with, I think we've solved or gotten rid of. And the audiences really seem to love it.
If you've seen the show, since in the last couple of years, it's now the 12 lessons you need to know about how to succeed in Hollywood. It's been that for a while. I don't think we had those 12 lessons in the UK tour of it, when Hollywood toured the UK. I don't think that was in there yet.
It wasn't a 12-step program. Maybe not. No. I mean, I remember another time you were up here in Northern California. We're sitting on my porch swing as we record this in Sonoma. And we got a whiteboard with Post-its and going through all the scenes and trying to say what order it is. And along the way, we've added two or three new scenes. We have a new Al Gore scene. Now we have a new, Oscar-winning movie formula scene.
Yeah.
And scenes that we've added and cut. We had kind of a horror movie Ingmar Bergman thing, which we've gotten rid of.
Yeah, that horror movie scene, if you saw the show, in San Francisco in 2007 or anywhere in 2008, you saw the horror movie scene, which had its moments, but it was a lot of work for not much payoff. That was the thing. That was the thing that bothered me about it. It was just so much. We were working so hard for so little. Yeah. You know?
And now it seems to flow, and I take that as a very good sign. Sometimes we do rewrites, and then it's hard to remember. Well, it's always hard to remember the order when you've just changed a little bit or added a new transition.
Yeah.
But this set of rewrites, it all makes sense, and then it becomes, if it's well written, it's easier to remember, and I take that as a good sign.
Well, and it flows better because we're not working so hard to force a concept onto the show. I think what slowed us down in the Hollywood show is that we Books was so successful in its concept that of a high school remedial English class, where the auditorium is the classroom full of kids, and that you're the coach and I'm the drama teacher, and Croak and Dominic are the student teacher. We tried to force that concept into the Hollywood show, and it just didn't take. It was too artificial. There wasn't a natural thing, and we kept trying to force it. Now it's much more like our RC Classic shows, in air quotes. Where we're the three Redoux Shakespeare Company guys. It's Austin, Reed, and Dominic, except Austin somehow has really gone completely Hollywood and can't remember Reed and Dominic's name and calls them Tony.
No, we're always Tony. Yeah, I think originally it was too high concept
yeah.
And we've simplified. And the other thing is, I think we can announce this, is that we're going to publish the show after we perform it this summer at the Kennedy Center. And there's been a lot of interest in it. And normally we perform a show for 2 or 3 years and then publish it so other people can do it. But because we weren't 100% satisfied with the first act, we didn't want to publish it until we felt we'd cracked that nut. Because once you publish it, even if you do rewrites, the original version is going to be out there. You can never get it back. And so we tweaked it now. We'll do it in June and July at the Kennedy Center, and then it'll be available for other people to license.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that, you know, we'll have these ideas for things we want to write or changes we want to make, fixes we want to make. But without the promise of a production, it's not futile, but it's what's the point? We're so busy working on other things, we can't work on the thing that we don't know when we're going to perform it next. So when this opportunity came to do it at the Kennedy Center, we went, great, this is our opportunity to really, really break the back of that first act of the Hollywood show. But we didn't want to do all those changes in front of the big crowds at the Kennedy Center. We wanted to do it on a smaller stage, in which we did, literally, here in Sonoma County at Santa Rosa Junior College and the Sebastiani Theater.
Yeah, it was and both were benefits.
Yeah,
I teach part time at Santa Rosa Junior College, and they've suffered from the California budget cuts like every government agency, and so we did a benefit performance there in front of a bunch of lively students, and then we did two benefit performances here at Sebastiani Theater in town, which was a bit of an older crowd. I'm not going to say the first night crowd was tough, but some of them were ambulatory, I will say that. And then the second night, last night, super lively, so yeah. Very successful.
Well, yes, I was very disappointed in the response from the audience the first night in Sonoma. I went, holy God, this is dying a death. And also the lights are set up in such a way you can't see who's out there. Mm-hmm. I thought it was maybe a third full and there wasn't anybody there. It's just like, oh, what is the point? Why? What are we learning here? This is soul destroying. Then we, as always, we go out to the lobby afterwards and the audience was packed. I just couldn't see how full it was. Both shows were sold out. And when I saw the age of Friday night's audience, I went, holy God, they made a ton of noise for this crowd. Oh, my God, that was a huge response.
Yeah, no, they're great for coming out and supporting Xenos.
You know, I'm going to say bad things about them because I'm sure not one of them is going to be listening to this.
Given their age, probably they won't be.
Not podcast savvy.
Yes.
In 2 weeks, we're going to New York City. Mm-hmm. We're finally making it to Broadway adjacent,
yes.
Playing at the New Victory. And then we got a handful of dates at the end of March. But really, we've got 6 weeks to get the sports show written. But do we want to announce why we only have 6 weeks to get it written, or we want to save that for a future podcast?
Oh, I think we should wait.
Good. Then we'll wait. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast, and that almost was it for the podcast. I recorded those excerpts from The Hollywood Show during last Saturday night's Sonoma performance using my trusty iPod and Belkin TuneTalk microphone in the pocket of my cowboy vest. Boy, the sound, it was really terrific. But towards the end of the show, I put the iPod and the microphone on the stage floor before our climactic gun battle. I didn't want it to fall out, so our wardrobe person could pick it up, grab it, and take it when the show was over. But Reed didn't see me do that. Reed thought it had fallen out, so he grabbed the iPod and the microphone and ran out to the lobby with it, thinking he was helping. But as he was running up the aisle, the microphone fell out of the iPod and went skidding across the floor of the sold-out Sebastiani Theater. We looked everywhere for that thing, but fortunately, it was picked up by RSE fan and podcast listener Mark Olin. Thank you, Mark. You saved the podcast. You can interact with Mark and other fans at our website, ReduceShakespeare.com, and our Reduce Shakespeare Comedy fan page at Facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at Twitter.com/Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReduceShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, grumpy young codger Matthew Croke, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Petite Prince Fan. No reason. It's just random. Special thanks to Hannah Sosby, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 167 501sts of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
But that Becky is hot. They should rename her Visa Card.
Why is that?
Because she's everywhere I want to be.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.